Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 129 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And yes, we are continuing our series, Experiencer Month, where we're having experiencers on all month long to come on and share their stories with you and their research on the experiencer phenomenon. And today we are welcoming special guest John Myler. John is a retired military combat veteran and chief master sergeant. He is the author of 13 books dealing with the strange and paranormal, and he is also an experiencer himself. He's also come to find out at the age of 5 years old that his family has had UFO sightings and paranormal happenings dating back to 100 years. So we'll be going into some of their experiences, his experiences, as well as what you can expect in some of his books, which really focus on the Christian perspective of ufology, which is a mix of the ancient astronaut theory and different time perspectives. So we have a lot of information to go over today. So as we always like to say, strap on them seatbelts, we're going for a ride. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 129 of UFO Encounters Worldwide. This is your host, Jesse Peek, MUFON State Section Director in the state of Pennsylvania, city of Philadelphia. And as you know, it is Experiencer Month, and today we are welcoming our special guest, John Myler. John, welcome to the show today.
Thank you very much. It's really good to be here on your show and to touch bases with fellow Pennsylvania folks.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've been reading over some of your work since I've had you scheduled. Really neat stuff. I think it's a different perspective than what we've ever had on the show before. So this is going to be a first for everybody. And I know they're interested in hearing what you have to say. So thank you for taking the time to come on today. I appreciate it.
Greatly. Thank you.
So I guess let's start it off. I had read that at the age of 5 years old, you had overheard your grandmother talking about her very own UFO sighting. Could you tell us about how that started at the age of five?
Yeah. So I was a really inquisitive kid, and I was always full of questions and stuff, and kind of open in terms of just accepting reality around me, things I saw, experienced, heard. Like most kids, you know, your filter's not turned on yet.
Right.
And mine kind of never turned off. Anyways. My grandma, my great grandmother and grandfather, they were an evangelist team. And back during the turn of the century, when they got married in their early days, they traveled all over the United States. They went to almost every state. My great grandfather was a minister, and he preached at the big tent revivals and stuff. And they were rooted in the faith, and they were a bedrock for our family. And when I got taken to her house, that's where my seeds of faith were initially planted. And that was the only place where seeds of faith were planted, because my mom was kind of a hippie. And of course, we didn't go to church. I live with my mom. My parents were divorced. Neither of my parents were, like, you know, what you would call born again Christian. It's not something that they would talk about.
Okay.
My mom at one point said that she did believe. However, exactly what, I'm still kind of puzzled these days to this day. And my dad used to talk about being proud of being a pagan, but I think in his latter days before he passed on, he sort of was changing his tune on that somewhat. He did ask me and my brother to pray for him shortly before he died. So I do feel comforted by that. But that's all just to say, you know, the 1960s came, and both my parents did what a lot of people did, and they rebelled against, you know, a lot of traditional values and Judeo-Christian heritage, which was strong in our family up until the 1960s. And they both, you know, went hog wild crazy like the rest of society. And so I was not raised in a Christian home. I didn't have any of that kind of upbringing, with the exception of my great grandparents. And they were very on fire for the Lord. If the TV was on in the house, it was probably Billy Graham talking. If the radio was on, it was gospel music. And Grandma was always reading the Bible and always talking about things that's going on with people in church. And she was active in ministry her entire life. And I recall at 5 years old, I was at their house, and Grandma made an announcement to the family. She was reading the newspaper. There were a lot of family members there. So it was something like around Christmas or Thanksgiving, because there was a lot of family there. And Grandma read this newspaper article about a UFO chase between the police in the outskirts of town. And it pretty much matched the description of that opening scene in Close Encounters of the Third Kind. And that wasn't the only place, Madera, it wasn't the only place where this has happened. I got a couple of newspaper articles that this happened in several other places where the police were actually chasing UFOs.
Wow, how about that?
So I remember at 5 years old, I'm looking around seeing people's expressions and stuff, and they're like wondering, I could tell they were wondering, why is Grandma reading this newspaper article about a UFO? It's not in context with what you expect from Grandma. And after she finished reading the article, she dropped the paper on her lap and she said, "When I was a little girl, I saw a UFO." And then she started a recount that this was during the turn of the century. She and her family lived on the outskirts of a little town out in the middle of Kentucky, barely any roads, no infrastructure, no electricity, no cars. They had never even seen a car before.
Wow.
So they lived out there and they had a wagon. And at this time, while they were walking along on the prairie, they saw this UFO cruise by, pretty low to the ground, like maybe 30 feet or so. It was a cylindrical object. It was really shiny, had no seams, no rivets, no nothing. It was just this perfectly metallic surface, silver colored. She said it looked like polished aluminum. And it had a bubble on top, and they were so close to it, they even saw the guy inside, and he turned and looked at him as he flew by.
Wow, that's rare.
Yeah. And they were like, they had no frame of reference by which to comprehend what they were looking at, but it was shocking. So they ran home and they told their mother, and she told them to never tell anyone this crazy story ever again. And they didn't question her. And so a couple years later, Grandma's sister died when she was just a teenager, and Grandma kept this story with her whole life. And after she was done reading explaining this, she said, "I don't care what people think, those things are real."
Wow.
And everybody was kind of shocked because they were like, okay, it's interesting.
Yeah.
So Grandma didn't really feel the need to have to go through an in-depth reconciliation of her faith or anything. She just accepted that this was a larger part of reality, that they're another part of God's creation. She didn't see any conflicts or anything. It was just there. And this is a woman who, she, I guess you could call her a Christian mystic, because she had other paranormal encounters that you could classify as paranormal, although they were of the Pentecostal sort.
Okay.
For example, one time she was choking and from carbon monoxide in her bedroom. The people near her house were working on their car and they left it running and it was flooding her bedroom with carbon monoxide, and she woke up and panicked and couldn't breathe and couldn't move. She was paralyzed, and she just thought to God, "Please help me." And suddenly her bedroom door opened and this man came into the room, grabbed her, rolled her over, and she could instantly breathe again. And the carbon monoxide cleared out of the room. And he turned around and walked out. And she said he was a military, he was wearing some kind of unusual military uniform, and he had a helmet with a spike on the top, which is a really unusual description.
Really?
He's not what you could say, oh, he was this flowing white robe and, you know, bird wings. No, this was a man in a military uniform and had a spiked helmet. And so I thought that that was really cool story. And she had another story where she had a stroke before I was born. It paralyzed the left side of her body. She couldn't walk. She couldn't speak. The entire left side of her body was completely inoperable. And the doctors didn't have any idea if or when she would recover or to what extent, because it was really bad. And while she was laying in the hospital, she said Jesus himself walked into her hospital room and smiled at her. And she was instantly healed. And he turned around and walked out. And she said he was beautiful and glowing in the spirit. And he was just the most amazing manifestation she had ever experienced in her life. He emanated love and peace and joy. And she was just high on life. So when the doctors came back into the room, they saw her ready to go. You know, when can I check out? Jesus came in, he healed me, praise God, I am 100% good to go.
That's incredible.
And yeah, so these are the kind of stories that you could expect for somebody who devotes her life to ministry and to God and to, you know, spreading the gospel. So the UFO story was just this tangent that was like, how does that fit? And I remember at 5 years old, I'm just plugging my mom with question after question. And like, what's a UFO? And what's up with grandma's story? And at that time, we watched Star Trek, you know.
Absolutely.
And I was treated like a little adult in the house. My mom, in her hippie ways, probably went overboard with that. She didn't filter any conversation with me whatsoever. So if I had 50 questions, she had 57 answers, and she humored me and really fed my curiosity a lot. And she said, well, Star Trek, you know, it's probably a lot more real than what people think. And so that's kind of how I grew up, with just this bigger scope of what reality really is. And I continue to kind of like be interested in the paranormal and unknown things in particular. We watched another show back then, In Search Of, with Leonard Nimoy.
Yes.
And yeah. And I loved that show, right? And my mom and my sister also, especially my sister, was really a big buff of the paranormal and stuff like that. So my mom purchased this Time Life subscription for this whole encyclopedia set of these paranormal type books.
Oh, that's cool.
And so I just absorbed those things. I would read it cover to cover and just memorize all the stuff in there. And then when I would make friends or meet people, I usually would ask questions, you know, what's the most unusual things ever happened to you? Or do you believe in ghosts? Have you ever encountered this or that? And over the years, I would collect these stories and kind of fit and categorize these things with stuff that I read in the books that I had. And so I just became kind of I didn't really know what I was doing at the time. Like, what is this all about? I don't know. You know, I just feel like I want to know about more about everything, about my reality. Why am I here? What's the point? And, you know, what's the big picture here? Then I actually had an alien type encounter myself when I was 21 years old and I was in the Army, and where I actually communicated with a ball of light in the jungle of Panama during the Panamanian conflict.
Wow.
It wasn't speaking English. And I wasn't alone. I was with my team leader, and this guy was, he was a, what do you call it? A tyrant. He used to tease me and belittle me and punish me endlessly because I was kind of an oddball for being an Army infantry grunt. They don't typically, you know, talk about existential things a lot, you know.
Right.
Your more normal conversations would be women or football or drinking or, you know.
Yep.
But I would like to get into these discussions. You know, I wrote poetry and I still had this wild flair in terms of I loved the outdoors. I loved high octane, crazy things like leaping out of helicopters and repelling and all of that.
But I was going to ask, how did the UFO thing get into the military aspect of it? Where'd that come from? But now I understand.
Yeah, I carried over with all of my paranormal proclivities. And so it made me a really big target for ridicule and mockery. And people made fun of me all the time and stuff. And I found a small group of people that played Dungeons and Dragons. And I kind of fit in with them. And we kind of survived. And war and everything else. And anyway, when I saw this ball of light, it transmitted to me where it was located. So it would flash on intermittently. It was about the size of a soccer ball, and when it flashed, it was like a camera, right? It's like somebody taking a picture of you.
Okay.
Except the flash on it is the size of a soccer ball, and it's pure electricity or like energy. It was sort of like a bluish white, white at the core. And then it just like, it was like pure electricity, and it lit up the entire jungle for hundreds of yards, you know, for a very long way. Cause it was extremely bright, blinding bright when it flashed on. And it would flash, like a blink. About once every 30 seconds. And I originally saw it way far away, like maybe almost 1,000 yards, and it made its way straight to our position and then stopped. And it was blinking on and off intermittently the whole time. So I thought, okay, this is unusual. It's not ball lightning. I read ball lightning. This is not matching all those characteristics. Ball lightning doesn't blink on and off. Ball lightning is a steady ball of light that zips around and hits something and discharges. I have my M60 with 750 rounds, and I had a radio, field radio with a backpack full of lithium batteries, and it had a 6-foot whip antenna. So if that thing was like just a natural phenomenon of electricity, I would think that it would want to go toward that 6-foot whip antenna because it was kind of like a lightning rod.
Right.
No, instead, this thing came straight to our position and then it stopped, kind of like it saw us there and was sort of scoping us out, like, what are you doing in my jungle? And so I told my corporal, I'm going to talk to it. He flipped. I mean, it was already kind of jittery and freaking out, and because I was kind of steadily feeding him information about what it was and what it wasn't. And I concluded with, this is not known to exist according to modern science. This will not be in any modern textbook, biology or otherwise. And it doesn't match any characteristics of any physical, you know, I'm just explaining it all to him. This thing is acting alive.
Hmm.
And because he was originally saying, oh, I think it's a laser from the Gulf, you know. I'm like, no, laser requires a clear line of sight. This thing's popping around out of the trees down here in the jungle. It's free roaming. When I had my night vision goggles, AMPVS 7s, I'm looking all around. I do not see anything at all when it's not flashing. It made no noise, and it was like not there when it wasn't flashed.
That's strange.
Yeah. And I told him that's a transdimensional property. This is transgenic, whatever this is. And of course, he's not registering anything that I'm telling him, and he ended up just kind of getting shut down. He just wasn't talking anymore. He was just sort of staring, except when I went out to talk to it, he backed away from me. He was cussing me out and told me not to, and I, like, this is my James T. Kirk moment.
Right.
I'm initially first contact. I am not going to pass this up.
That's right.
I have watched too much Star Trek to pass this up. So, yeah, I just told it I come in peace, and I didn't mean any harm, and we're just there out in the jungle as part of, you know, making sure that we're safe over there at the base, securing the perimeter of the base. But in terms of being in this thing's territory, if we were, I apologize, and I just said I was curious. I just wanted to know it, and here I am, you know, and would you please reveal yourself to me? And at that point, that feeling of being watched, if you can take that and encapsulate it and amplify it to such an extent that you feel like you're actually literally looking at something, even though it's invisible. And when it moves, you know it's moving, and you feel where it's moving, and you know exactly where it's at. That's what it did to me. It was transmitting to me its location. And I felt it moving around, and I told the corporal, I said, I feel it moving, and I don't know how I feel it moving, but it's coming toward me. It was extremely intimidating because this thing was powerful. It emanated a presence.
I bet it did.
And yeah, and I took a couple steps back, and I was thinking that, you know, wondering if I made a mistake, if this thing was going to kill me. I felt it certainly could. Anyway, I felt it fly right over the top of my head. And I lifted my AMPVS night vision goggles, and I'm looking through them, and I pointed. So at first I was facing it, but when it flew, I felt it fly over my head. I did a complete 180, and I was facing in the opposite direction, and I pointed up in the trees, and I said, the next time it flashes, it's going to flash right there. And it flashed exactly where I pointed, exactly when I said the word there.
Well, he had to be shocked by that.
Yeah, I for me, that was a confirmed communication. It didn't speak English, but it transmitted to me where it was located and that it was a sentient being, that I felt its presence.
Wow, that's absolutely incredible.
Yeah,
for sure.
Of course, the next day when I brought this up to the rest of the guys, they just decided to just start making fun of me about it.
And
my corporal, he said that I summoned it. And then they started a roast fest on me, and I'm like, I don't understand you guys.
Oh,
you're in another world, even more so than the thing I saw. I don't get you guys.
Oh, that's incredible. That's a good way to start the first half of the show, that's for sure. Let's go ahead and take our break real quick, and when we get back, we can get into it a little bit more and talk about the research you've been doing too, because I mean, some really interesting things that you're into. So we're going to go ahead and take our break, and we'll be back right after these commercial messages. Are you a collector? Are you looking for new items to add to your collection? Well, check out JP's Finds on Facebook Marketplace. Get all your Pokemon needs, comic books, and collectible toys. Again, that's JP's Finds on Facebook Marketplace. You can find the link in the description of the episode below.
Have you always been curious about the unknown, the unexplainable? Do you find yourself intrigued by the mysterious and paranormal side of our world? Then Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is the podcast for you. Join in on an adventure into the world of the inexplicable and get insights from experienced researchers, investigators, and experts. Listen to mind-bending discussions and fascinating stories as Let's Find Out explores the strange, mysterious, and paranormal. Let's Find Out with co-host Diego is a unique and engaging podcast that uncovers the mysteries of the cryptic and unknown. With insightful interviews and discussions, they discover the very latest theories, discoveries, and investigations that may someday give us the final answer as to what may be behind the veil of reality. Available on Spotify, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, YouTube, iHeartRadio, Radio Public, TuneIn, and Rumble.
UFO Encounters Worldwide with like to announce our brand new home at the UNX Network. Listen to us every Saturday at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time to hear UFO Encounters Worldwide podcast. That's on the UNX Network.
UFO Encounters Worldwide wants to hear from you. Have an experience or a sighting you want to share? Contact your host, Jesse Peek, at UFOEncountersWorldwide@gmail.com today.
This is your host, Jesse Peek. Check out our official website at UFOEncountersWorldwide.wordpress.com. Read up on UFO articles, including abductions, close encounters, sighting cases, megalithic structures, and more. Also, check out our new Facebook group. You'll get updates on guests every week, new events coming up, and our schedule of who we're going to have on in the future. Again, that's UFO Encounters Worldwide Facebook group and our website at UFOEncountersWorldwide.wordpress.com. All right, welcome back to the second half of episode 129. We're sitting down with our special guest today, John Myler. That story of you encountering that I guess sentient light being was incredible. So how did it move from there after you retired? Because you are a retired Chief Master Sergeant, and now you're the author of 13 different books. Your newest being called where are we at here? What was the newest one? Christian Ufology.
Christian Ufology.
Okay. Yeah. So would you like to tell us a little bit about that and where the inspiration for that one came from? Or you can even start from the beginning of your books and kind of walk us through how it went from the beginning to where you are now. That would be
great. Yeah. Yeah. So after I got out of the Army, I was like free, and the Army was kind of like prison to me. And part of why I joined the Army at 17 was to escape my dad and my stepmom's house, because it was like prison there. And I thought, oh, I'll join the Army and finally be free. And
right, be independent, right.
basically adopted another set of parents for the next 3 years. And so when I got out of the Army, I went kind of hog wild for a while. But God got a hold of me at some point, about after 6 months or so. He visited me and radically changed the way I view, the way I see things. Because I was very open about like just anything and everything. But my faith, you know, I would have said I was a Christian, but it was very rudimentary, you know, in terms of, you know, I believe God was love. I had a dream where I felt God revealed that to me when I was 12 years old. That I was taken to heaven and, you know, witnessed some amazing things there. And I had God's love was just saturating that atmosphere. So I believed that God is love, but in terms of like what's in the Bible, I was like, I didn't know hardly anything.
Right.
I knew a little bit of stuff about the Antichrist because he's creepy and scary and the book of Revelation and this and that. Okay. But very little about it. However, I had an encounter, a dream that just totally, it was like the Ebenezer Scrooge thing, right? He goes to bed being this greedy asshole, wakes up a completely different person, high on life, bouncing off the walls, full of energy, giving things away left and right.
That's right.
And I went through a similar experience that greed wasn't necessarily my hang up, though maybe a little bit. I did go through a period where I was just giving away pretty much tons of stuff that I had, things that I coveted so much. And I just, you want that leather jacket? Here, have it. And I was just, it's like my eyes were open and I was totally, you know, red pill, you know, here's okay. Your red pill. And the paranormal part kind of comes to life because I had gotten past the part of just like reading about the paranormal no longer satisfied me. So I started experimenting with the paranormal. I did ghost hunting. I did astral projection. I did past life regression and self-hypnosis and casting runes. I knew how to read tarot cards and palm reading and some astrology. And I just was into all of this stuff. So I started actually practicing some of these things, Ouija boards, things like that. My house became poltergeist central.
Oh, man.
I'm sure I opened up portals all over the place. It looked like Swiss cheese in the spirit realm if you had eyes to see it.
Wow.
And I knew that I was kind of in trouble there when funky things started happening. I talked to somebody about Jesus, and my phone would get all staticky and hang up by itself. So I hit redial and say 666 on the dial. And
oh, my God.
this is not good. I went to a church and I talked to the guy there. Like, I think there's demons in my house. And he's telling me, I got a degree in demonology. There's no such thing as demons in your house, blah, blah, blah. I'm like, tell that to the demons,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
But I told him I wanted to get baptized, you know, because that's what Christians do. And honestly, I know from personal experience, there's something amazing that happens with baptism where in the spiritual realm, you have authority that you didn't have before. As I was able to do an exorcism on my house and later able to do exorcisms on people. And nothing will open your eyes like an exorcism. But I'll tell you, after God really altered my perception, you know, I still believe, you know, that there might be room in this universe for ETs, just like my grandmother. However, I was also in school and studying and learning a lot. Speaking of, I have 5 degrees, 2 of which are master degrees. So that's the kind of person I am. I'm kind of this academic nut.
Okay.
And in my mind, I was already seeing things like people using UFOs and the existence of ETs. I noticed that a lot of Christians really kind of were on their guard with that. Like, it's just demonic. And they just put this demonic label on everything. And yet I'm like, I knew so much about the paranormal. I wasn't so apt to just give the devil that much credit. Just because you don't know something doesn't mean it's automatically demonic. And I would get into these debates with different Christians about it, and it would annoy me because it's like they would use that as an excuse to just avoid talking about stuff. And then you know, there's a fact that, okay, if there's ETs out there in the cosmos, well, then that kind of automatically gives credence to evolution. And then you have to face the, you know, look at the book of Genesis and consider, you know, did God really make Adam and Eve, or were we planted here by aliens? And, you know, that's the common thing, right?
Yeah.
My grandma, she would have said, no, you know, Genesis 2:7, God created us from the dust of the earth with his hands. It says that straight up. You either believe that or you don't. And, you know, the same word, Elohim. So they like to say, oh, you know, the gods created us, right? And let's redefine God. Let's say it's a pantheon of ETs that are really powerful. And that's what Elohim means,
right? Because
it's a plural word. A pantheon, the Bible starts out with the very first sentence. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Did ETs create the heavens and the earth? This is time, space. This is the frame by which reality, all reality as we know it, exists. Even if it's in another dimension, it still exists within its scope of the heavens. It's time, space. And God can exist outside of that altogether. And only he can do that. ETs can't do that. And the Bible says that it is that God who created all of time, space. And then he entered time, space. And then he created a body for himself in the body of Jesus. And he created man from the dust of the earth. And he also created all life. But the Bible goes into so much detail about how God is author of time. He's the Alpha and Omega.
Right.
And he could do anything. And he is the firstborn of all creation. That's what it says about Jesus. So in terms of life in the cosmos, Jesus is the first, the son of the Father who exists outside of time space altogether. And then he created all reality. So this is the context to which I had to adjust to when I'm seeing it. And my grandmother never saw a need to go into that kind of detail. She just knew those things and accepted them as that. But I thought it's something unique that I believe as a Christian who also believes in the existence of ETs. I need to be able to organize this information and put it in such a, you know, put it in such a way that both the Bible and an ET reality can be real. And that's what this whole book is about. And this book is actually the second edition to Aliens and the Antichrist. So that book was the one, the first, very first book I wrote was Aliens in the Bible that was in this genre of trying to just reconcile all this paranormal stuff with a Christian reality. And my rule is the Bible is my authority and the Bible is my baseline. And if somebody can point out how my theory is wrong about something by using the Bible, then I'm all for it. Please show me where I'm wrong and I will change my views. And I actually did change my views on several things between that book, Aliens in the Bible, and Aliens in the Antichrist. But it took a lot, and it took a lot of research. And that's why Aliens in the Antichrist has a lot more science research and theology in it. And then I did a second edition to that, which is basically Christian ufology. That's the second edition to Aliens and the Antichrist. So it doesn't have that. The title's quite a bit different just because I felt like I needed a title that reflects actually more accurately what it is. You know, as a Christian, how do you understand UFOs and ETs? And I cover all the perspectives in terms of like people who think that it's all a hoax. And then there's the group of Christians who believe that they're all demonic. And there's a less known group that believes they're divine manifestations. I happen to know a minister who believes that. And he wrote a book back in the 60s called Flying Saucers and the Bible and UFOs.
Yes.
Something like that.
Yep.
Dr. Barry Downing. And I've corresponded with him a number of times. And I'm friends with him and another guy who introduced us.
That's great.
And he'd been on that show, Ancient Aliens and stuff, but very, very briefly. Because Ancient Aliens, that show very much promotes the idea that ETs are God. You know, let's quote from the Bible all over the place, but extract God out of it. He isn't what you think he is. He's an ET. That's what they like to do. But I'm here to kind of counter that with another message that you don't have to abandon your faith. You can totally believe in the Bible. You could totally believe all the things that Jesus offers, the reality that we are created as eternal beings, and God has this destiny for us that's just beyond our wildest imagination, how awesome it is. But he has certain requirements. He wants us to live a certain way. He wants us to make love the center of our being. And God is love. And so we need to follow his example. And when he says, here's the things that I want from you, I mean, that's very important. He's the author. He's got the blueprints of life. And I'm not so apt to throw that out the window. So that's why I say I need to write this book so that, you know, because I believe that there's a lot of Christians out there that are starting to become aware of the fact that this is an unavoidable topic. There is a reality out there. ETs are real. There are no kidding real. This isn't, you can't even, I don't even entertain that hoax thing anymore. Yes, there's lots of hoaxers out there. There's people making crop circles and goofy stuff like that.
Right.
But the reality is itself, in 2020, when the Navy came out and they said, this is defying the laws of physics.
That's right.
And Marco Rubio spoke up and said, I hope they're ETs, because if they're not, we're in big trouble.
That's right. That's right. So, I don't know if you know, today the Vatican just had their press conference this morning on this. So, I mean, even the Vatican's talking about it now, you know?
Yeah. So I could go back and now I could just like talk about some of the things in my book, just because getting to this point, now I'm actually into the material and it's endless. There's just so much evidence in the Bible. I believe in ETs more now because of the Bible. So let's start with, you know, one of the first things I started doing when God gave me a wake-up call was I'm like, I got to find a Bible and just actually read it for once instead of knowing about little bits and pieces and stories like David and Goliath, right? My great-grandmother would tell us these stories, Daniel and the lion's den and this and that. But there's a lot of other worldly stuff going on there that I didn't question. And it turns out the Bible was way more of a paranormal book than I ever thought. I had no idea that the Bible actually is a source document for like the bulk of paranormal phenomenon.
Right.
I mean, the Bible actually even tells you the origin of all cryptids. I didn't know that, but it tells you. And it tells you right off the bat. I mean, I'm reading Genesis and I get to Genesis chapter 6. I'm reading about these Nephilim, B'nai Elohim, watchers. If you read the extended edition of Genesis chapter 6, it's the book of Enoch. And these B'nai Elohim mated with human women and had children that were genetic freaks of nature. So the scientific part of me was saying, that's genetics. There's something that they have, biology, these otherworldly B'nai Elohim beings. They are physical beings, which is different than what I originally thought of angels. I thought of angels as like ghost-like, you know, and the use of the word spirit. I think there's huge misconception in the Christian community about the understanding of what spirit really is. It's not non-physical. A spirit body is composed of a type of exotic matter. And anybody who studied ghostly phenomenon stuff would have to come to this conclusion. How do you explain how a ghost can manipulate electricity and mess around with radio waves and stuff? You have to have atomic structure to manipulate atomic structure. So they have a type of body. It's just of a type of a finer matter. And it's not so condensed that you can actually, you know, usually you can't see them. Sometimes you can, though. But how would it be able to reflect emit or refract light and reflect light if they were not composed of matter? Light itself is literally photons. That's matter itself.
That's right.
And ghosts are emitting this. So ghosts are a type of matter. Spirits are a type of matter. And a lot of what I wrote has to deal with that. Like, let's draw from science. Let's look at I look at the fossil record. I explain actually where, how Cro-Magnon and Neanderthal could fit into the picture, which I always thought, you know, that puzzled me when I was in school. And I know a lot of people get thrown off, you know, their faith when they come across this information in college. My dad did. But the Bible actually tells you information about it if you read into it and you really study it. So these giants, that was my first clue. They were bad guys, you know, they were evil. They were so evil that God had to wipe out the entire world.
Right.
And that was my first clue that these otherworldly interactions were not all good. In fact, those were really bad, and it pretty much almost wiped out the planet. And then Jesus went and said, as the days of Noah were, so shall it be in the days of the coming of the Son of Man. So he prophesied that we were going to see a return to an age when otherworldly beings came down to earth and interacted with humanity in face-to-face physical interaction.
Do you think that has started, or do you think that's still to come?
That's happening right now with abductions.
Okay.
But I believe what Jesus was referring to is open contact, open to scope, public disclosure, and these beings actually coming down and us actually seeing them and being in awe of them. And I believe the Antichrist will be a Nephilim. I think the Bible actually refers to it. It refers to the seed of the woman will stomp on the head of the serpent, right? The seed of the woman is the biological seed. That's Jesus. That was the first reference. As soon as Adam and Eve sinned and God confronted them with it, the first thing he told them was a prophecy about Jesus, that the seed of the woman would stomp on the head of the serpent, but the serpent would bite his ankle. So it was going to hurt him.
Hmm.
That was a prophecy about Jesus coming through a woman. You know, it's referring to Mary, who was a descendant of Adam and Eve. I think the devil being a big copycat that he is, well, if God has his seed, then I'll have my seed. And what would his seed be? A Nephilim, a hybrid angel slash human. And the Bible talks about this strong delusion coming in our future. And here's where this whole Antichrist thing comes in, because that was something that used to bug and scare me when I was a kid.
Just a heads up, we have 3 minutes, just so you know. But go ahead.
Okay. So the more I studied about the ET presence in the Bible and stuff, the more it pointed to end times prophecy. And I found all kinds of connections with 2 Thessalonians 2. Chapter 2, verse 9 through 13, where it talks about the Antichrist. And I think that all of this ET interaction with people, and especially the genetic tinkering, is leading up to creating a master human being who will be Satan's masterpiece. And I believe that that's what they're working on, actually, that that is one of the main objectives of all of this genetic tinkering that they're doing.
So what do
but
you,
there's so much more to say.
No, I know. We could do this for hours for sure. So just real quick, what do you think, you know, as people that are ufologists and in the field, like people like yourself, like what should our main focus be as of right now, you know, to, you know, I don't really know how to explain it, but what should we focus on right now, you know, to kind of until we this happens?
I would say, for Christians, that they don't have to abandon their faith when they see that their reality is being altered, that things that they thought that they could count on. And I know that there's people in the Pentagon and other areas of government, they get read into these files and they see this other reality that they think is incompatible with the Bible, but it's not. So that's all there. And in terms of a wider audience for everyone, the Bible is packed with prophecies. And that's the one thing that makes it very distinguished from every other religion in the world. The Bible tells you what's going to happen before it happens. You have actually all of these prophecies that have already happened. A bunch of the New Testament is actually fulfilled prophecies in the Old Testament, documented in writing. But for those who don't believe it, prophecy keeps happening.
Right.
And I got a list of them in the books. Israel becoming a nation is a prophecy. Literally, it's in Jeremiah 31, Isaiah 2, Ezekiel 36, and in the New Testament too, Matthew 28, Acts chapter 3. That's a huge prophecy that fulfilled in 1948. The return to the days of Noah, that's this UFO activity going on right now. Jesus prophesied that in Matthew 25, in Luke 17. Otherworldly alliances between nations and ETs, that's in Daniel chapter 8, Revelation chapter 12, Matthew chapter 24, Luke 23. It's all over the Bible.
Hmm.
And the Bible actually talks about these interactions and how ETs are part of the human existence and part of God's plan since before humanity was existing and extending into the eternal future.
So really, we've had all the answers right there in front of us this entire time, and people just don't even realize it.
Yeah.
That's incredible.
I'd also like to say that I do offer my books for free. You know, if people are willing to give me a review on Amazon and just email me at jmeiler@yahoo.com, I will totally email them a free copy.
Okay. And then other people, I guess they can get it on Amazon. Is that where it would be?
Yeah, and I also have websites for my books.
Yes, I did.
Christian Ufology is on ChristianUFology.net. The links are there. I have another one called The Strong Delusion. That one is on TheStrongDelusion.net.
Okay.
And AliensInTheBible.com and AliensInAndTheAntichrist.com. And then my name, JohnMiler.com. That's my main website where I have everything at.
Yeah,
other websites go to that one.
I did put that in the description of the episode. This way, everybody can go ahead and just click right on that and get over to your main website. So they can get the other websites from that main one. They can get everything.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, perfect.
Yeah, that's the main one that all the others go to.
Excellent.
So they'll have it all there. And my email address is on that website, too. And so I welcome all emails. If people had additional questions, I will totally personally answer questions anybody has.
Awesome. I appreciate that. I'm probably going to have a couple questions, to be honest with you. So I appreciate you coming on today, John, and then talking with me. I know 40 minutes goes real quick, especially when you get in deep conversations. And like we said, we could talk about this for hours, really. But I've definitely learned some new things myself, which is why I'm going to have questions for you. and I know,
oh, yeah.
I know the audience.
I welcome it.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I appreciate that because I'll definitely reach out. I'm all about the learning the ways of this and you know, my interest is, this is what I felt passionate about doing, kind of like you have, like, this is what you look forward to doing. You have that urge, that feeling inside, you know, so I'm kind of right there with you. But I appreciate you coming on today and celebrating Experiencer Month with us and sharing your experiences with us, your knowledge as well. I'll make sure everything is in the description of the episode so people can get a hold of you and check out the websites and your book as well. Thanks again for coming on.
All right. Thank you. Peace and long life.
Yeah, no problem. And we'll be back next week with another special guest to continue our Experiencer Month. Please check out our sponsor. It is in the description of the episode below. There's links to that store. And I want to thank everybody for tuning in to 129. And we'll be back next week with another amazing episode. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky. Well, what another amazing episode for Experiencer Month. I want to thank John Miller for coming on today and sharing his experiences with himself, his family, and what you can expect in his book, some amazing research he's been doing throughout the years. So thank you again, John Miller. I appreciate you coming on today. Next week, we're going to welcome experiencer and researcher Betsy Lewis. She's been doing some amazing work in the field, some really neat stuff, and we'll be talking about her newest book, Abduction. That should be a great episode to look forward to. I want to thank everybody for tuning in to episode 129 today. Make sure you go check out our new Facebook store, JP's Finds. If you guys are interested in Pokemon, comic books, and collectibles, we have it all over there. Please check it out. Send us a DM if you're interested. The link is in the episode description below. And thank you again for tuning in to episode 129. We will see you guys again next week. And until next time, remember to keep your eyes in the sky.